Sad Pod, Episode 19, recorded April 28th, 2016.
Hello and welcome to Sad Pod, where stay-at-home dads talk about their happy, sad lives. Now, feeding our kids is something that is not only required of us by law, but it's one of those things that, as sads, we're tasked with on probably three times a day, maybe four if you've got a hungry kid. We know going into every meal that it can go one of two ways. You can either have empty plates or a kitchen nightmare so bad that even Chef Ramsay could not save you. With me, your host Ross, to discuss this topic tonight, we have Mr. Matty McGraw. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm very good. I should have said I have just the one child, so it's not that bad mealtimes. I have a two-year-old daughter. What about yourself?
Well, I have two little ones at home, and then my 14-year-old lives with his mom, and he's here on spring break and in the summer and stuff. So sometimes there's three, but usually it's just the two little ones.
Okay, excellent. And our third host, our third sad this week, is Mr. Nick Feigl.
Figgle. Yep.
There we go. So I'm going to bring the British accent for that. I'm good, man. How are you?
Oh, not too bad.
Excellent. And how many little ones do you have running around your house?
I currently have a 22-month-old son and a daughter due in July.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. You're about to get a lot more busy.
Yep. Just a little bit.
Yes. So we're here today to talk about food. Basically, it's a massive topic for us as sads, and my daughter's just turned two, and apparently is having a growth spurt where she just wants to eat all day long. She's constantly asking me for food. So our first kind of question I'm going to throw out to you boys is three meals a day is a standard, and I like to have set times for these. We wake up pretty much at 8 o'clock every day, and breakfast is done and dusted by 9 a.m. She's had her milk, she's had a cereal and a banana if she wants a banana. Matty, do you have a kind of a routine for your meals during the day?
Breakfast tends to be fairly standard because 4 days a week my three-year-old goes to preschool, so we have to be out the door by 8 o'clock. So yes, we're usually up between 6:45 and 7, and then sometimes between 7 and 8 we get something to eat. It's going to change a little bit next school year because my 5-year-old will be starting first grade at a local charter school, and been homeschooling her this year. So that part's going to change. And then lunch and dinner, we are not schedule people. we tend to eat when we're hungry, and it depends. The other thing is our kitchen has been destroyed for the last couple of months. We came home from a pre-holiday trip back before Christmas to a leaky dishwasher, and destroyed carpet and mold in the walls, and so they had to rip half my kitchen out. I haven't had a sink or a dishwasher since February.
Oh, damn, man.
So we've been doing actually a lot of eating out, which is not normal for us. And so that's been interesting.
Yeah, that's one of our topics later on. We'll come on to eating out and the horror stories that you have for them.
For sure. So yeah, so the bottom line, we're not really very scheduled when it comes to lunch and dinner, simply because it's not always the same of who's going to be home. And and then of course my wife works graveyard shift, so some days she's home and some days she's sleeping all day, and anyway, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, okay. Nick, what about yourself?
Yeah, we do three meals a day as well. Usually about 9:30-ish is when breakfast is served. Yeah. I usually keep it kind of the same standard thing for him. Lunch is around 12:30, so I can get him to take a nap shortly after lunchtime.
Dinner, that's not my own heart. That's what I try to do. Yeah. I'm hanging on to that nap for dear life.
Yeah.
Dinner, naps, I remember those.
Yeah, my son doesn't really nap very long. I think he does about 40 to an hour on average, which is, brutal. But, you know, I'm trying to get through it. Dinner, I try to stick around 6:30 to try to get him to bed at least by 8, I'm thinking. That doesn't always happen. I mean, it can fluctuate all the way to 11, depending on his mood, I guess.
Yeah. I must be pretty lucky because my daughter tends to go to bed every day at 8 o'clock, and she's had her dinner by 6, and we have lunch at 12. I like to keep that kind of regiment in place. It's not always easy to stick to.
But no, it's not.
if I aim for those times, and if I fall an hour ahead or behind, then I'm kind of happy with that.
Yeah.
Do you guys let your kids snack throughout the day? Do they have like a mid-morning snack or an afternoon snack after a nap or something? Matty, what about you?
It kind of depends on the day. And who's in a growth spurt, like you mentioned when we were talking before, because my 3-year-old seems like he's constantly growing. And so I totally resonate with that wanting to eat 24/7 that you were just describing. The 5-year-old is not so much. She tends to, if the little one gets a snack, then she, you know, thinks she deserves and needs to have one too. So we try to keep to, you know, goldfish crackers and cheese sticks and fruit, and, you know, try not to go overboard on the salty fried sweet stuff. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, fruit tends to be the snack of choice for my daughter. She's an absolute fiend. We live literally opposite a fruit shop. It's called the fruit basket.
Oh,
it's, yeah, it's fresh fruit every day.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's really handy. Yeah.
Kids walk across the road.
Yeah, she runs in there and it's like a candy shop for her, basically.
That's better, at least.
Yeah, exactly. A healthy candy shop for her. Nick, what about yourself? Do you have any sort of specific snacks that you hand out at times?
Usually when he wakes up, I'll give him something. He eats apples or other fruits is usually the snack. Cheerios or something similar to Cheerios. I know that they have those little buckets of other things from those baby food companies. I can't recall the names, but that kind of stuff. I also give him pouches every once in a while, and it's not really a problem. I'm okay with pouches because he doesn't ask for them all the time. It's usually my offering it to him and he'll take it. And there's some good stuff in there. You got to watch. Some of them have lots of sugar, but overall they help me out pretty much through the day, I think.
I can't remember what our Fuhrer David referred to these pouches as yesterday, but crack for kids, basically, didn't he?
Crack for kids. I think that's what he said.
Crack pouch.
Yeah. And I try not to feed too much for a snack because before lunch or something, he may not eat lunch at all.
Yeah, we've got to that stage where I serve a dinner and it's either she loves it or it is not being touched and it is being thrown on the floor and at the dog and everywhere.
Yeah, yep. I get that too.
Yeah, it's a tricky stage, that is, especially when you've got other things to do and you've got a kid that doesn't want to eat their food.
My dog's happy though. He's okay with that.
Yeah, I'm mine sure loves your it. Dog is too. Yeah, it sits at her feet and just waits so that the droppings, basically. Yeah. Are there any kind of forbidden treats, either from your wife or from family handed down or anything, that you kind of don't give your kids? In this country, it's kind of, it's not frowned upon, but like sweets. We have, I think Smarties are different for us than they are for you. I think yours are like a little sugary candy type thing.
Yeah. Yes.
As a chocolate with a chocolate shell on the outside. Things like that, they're kind of special treats and they're not an everyday kind of thing. Do you have anything that are kind of you can sneak in on a special occasion and not tell the other half or the boss?
Well, my kids don't really have a sweet tooth, either one of them, which is good in some ways, but like, you know, my son will eat a cookie, like one cookie sometimes.
Right.
Or you know, they get Halloween candy or Valentine's or Easter or whatever, and the stuff lasts for 6 months because they never ask for it, and we never give it to them. So it's like it's like a rare occasion that they'll have a piece of candy. They like that. Both of them really like salty stuff, like pretzels and so we try to limit those kinds of things. But as far as like something that they're not like, they would eat ice cream every day if I let them. So there's that. We can't have ice cream in the house because it'll be gone. So
yeah, my daughter's she loves the ice cream as well. She had to have some medicine. She had an operation a few weeks back, and this medicine absolutely stank and had a really awful taste. So I tried to hide it in ice cream, and she wasn't falling for that.
Oh, no.
She had two spoonfuls and then just threw the bowl to one side. even the love of ice cream could not overcome that horrible medicine.
Oh, that's too bad.
Anything that you kind of have you got a banned list, Nick, on your house?
My wife loves Nutella. I guess it's a creamy
chocolate spread.
Hazelnut spread. I don't allow him to have that. I won't let her give that to him. Oh, really? He hasn't had any ice cream before. He's had the Rita's Italian ice type treats. I haven't given him any candy or anything like that. He has had cookies, but the cookies that he's eaten are the baby food type cookies with low sugar. He loves those, so I'm okay with that every once in a while. I don't really allow French fries or fried stuff really right now for him.
Okay.
And you said he's 20 months?
22 months.
22 months. Okay.
But one of the things, if he's at a party, if his own birthday party, I'll allow him to have a little bit of cake, but he doesn't really search out those things. So I'm okay with every once in a while, but I don't like when other people give him cake or a cupcake without asking.
Yes. Oh, yeah, kids don't have that will to just turn it down, do they?
No, they don't. It's all in the door.
We had to actually train the little old ladies at church that hand out the snacks at coffee hour to not hand my kids cupcakes and cookies and stuff without at least glancing over at us to make sure it's okay.
So you can shake your head. No.
Right? Well, tell them to stick to the cheese and fruit, please. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. I mean, this is off topic a little bit. Nick, you mentioned to me earlier that you kind of, quite early on, you decided to go with proper food as opposed to baby food.
Yes.
Is that something that you did as well? Matt, you wanted to get them onto the proper food early?
Yeah,
baby-led weaning or something, I think it's called.
Mm. Yeah, neither of our kids ever had baby food from a jar.
Really?
We started with rice and wheat cereals. Yep. And then we basically steamed or roasted vegetables and pureed them and gave them to the kids. They loved sweet potatoes, carrots, peas, green beans. We did all that. And then by the time they were eating from a spoon solid food, we would just take whatever we were eating and mush it up or chop it up and let them eat that. That my kids, they've always been adventurous eaters. My kids will go to the Thai restaurant or the Indian food or my daughter is my 5-year-old is a huge sushi eater. She could eat you on a table.
Wow.
at the sushi restaurant. So, we never did really baby food.
She has a more adventurous palate than me. I've never had sushi myself. I'm 32.
Yeah. I think I tried it once.
all three of my kids will eat raw fish now. It's really awesome.
Wow. That's pretty good though, because that's super healthy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really good for them. So yeah, well, how did you start your kids off on that, Nick?
Basically, we would, whenever he had teeth, they came in and we could give him certain things, a lot of the softer items. We would allow him to either take some from our plate or, if he was sitting on our lap, or we'd have another plate that would have other things that he could pick at. So you could trick him into thinking he was making his own choices and he was eating what he wanted. But now he's eating a lot of different things. He'll try everything. I see him eating broccoli, he'll eat some Thai food, but if it's really spicy, he spits it right back out. So I'll limit the certain spices and things like that as he experiences them, and I know what not to give him.
sure.
Yeah, there's certain things, we don't kind of say no to her to try anything. She can try whatever she wants, but there's certain things that she tries and then that's a no straight away. We had, as tradition is, we're English, we had fish and chips from the takeaway today, and I'm not sure if this is an American thing, but maybe a British thing. We had pickled eggs.
I love pickled eggs.
Ah, good.
You don't see them very often, but I love them.
No, you don't.
No, my grandmother used to make them, pickled beets and eggs. Wow. Oh, lovely. All the time. Loved it.
Yeah, me and my wife always get them, and my daughter thought she'd try and be sneaky and take some of ours because she loves hard-boiled eggs. Mm-hmm. So she sees a hard-boiled egg and assumes it tastes the same as it always does. Yeah, she was not a fan of that. Pulled the very sharp-tasting face on that one.
I can imagine.
So the problem I have is more with lunchtime and dinners. Breakfasts, we can kind of, there's cereals, there's toast, there's European breakfast of the hams and the cheese and stuff. Mm-hmm. Lunchtimes, I'm stuck in a sandwich routine. I give her a sandwich, like a cheese string or a little piece of cheese, some fruit and some biscuits or crisps. I can't break out of this monotonous routine of the same things every day. Have you guys had this yourselves, and how do you get out of it? Whoever wants to take that can just jump in.
Sure. The three-year-old has lunch at preschool, so that's, you know, right, kind of taken care of. But my daughter is not a big sandwich eater. She would rather eat all the pieces of a sandwich taken apart than eat a sandwich. Yeah, okay. So like, you can give her a little rolled up piece of ham and a slice of cheese and a piece of bread, and she will just scarf that down like nothing. But if you put all those things in a sandwich all together, then it's a problem. But she loves soup. So I get instant miso soup. I get just like chicken noodle or vegetable or minestrone or whatever. And she loves soup. So she'll eat it even in the summer. She'll eat soup.
Do you just, when you give them soup, do you just accept the mess that's going to happen from that? Or is there a way of kind of limiting?
Well, fortunately or unfortunately, I'm a few steps ahead of you guys in terms of age. True. Like both of my kids can feed themselves without any real problems. I mean, stuff's going to get on the table, but as far as getting on the floor, we don't worry about that too much. Yeah. You know the soup spoons that you get at a Chinese restaurant? It's kind of like a little miniature ladle. I don't know if that's a thing in the UK.
Quite deep.
Yeah. So we got a set of those, and every time I serve her soup, I give her one of those, and she can manage it really well.
That's sad tip number one, people listening.
There you go. Also, pasta. Pasta, if you have pasta for dinner and then there's some left over, then a lot of times she'll want to eat that for lunch. Neither one of them are really sauce eaters. Mm-hmm. So when I make pasta, I tend to have a big bin of pasta and then the sauce, and my wife and I can mix them together if we want to. But the kids usually just have noodles or shapes with butter on them or something. And so we can heat that up the next day. And then there's always fruit, and there's always, you know, maybe yogurt or applesauce or, you know, those kinds of things, grapes, whatnot.
Yeah. How about you, Nick? Are you stuck in a routine, or are you
partially?
Yeah,
I try to switch things up. The meals, you know, leftovers from the night before, or again, pasta. My son will eat pasta, and I'll add some sauce on it. But he eats peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Well, I'm sorry, peanut butter sandwiches. I don't put jelly on it.
Right,
and he'll eat that rolled up. But I've never given him an actual sandwich. I don't think it would end well. You know, but it's my thing is the chicken, the already cooked chicken that's frozen. Sure. So I use the microwave a lot more than I ever thought I possibly would. And that's one of the things I'm trying to get over, you know, using the microwave all the time. But I don't really see another way around it. You know, fruit's available, different types of fruit, apples, pears, whatever. Strawberries, he loves those.
Yeah.
And as far as getting him to eat vegetables, I'll usually boil up some carrots, cut that up, have that as an option. Mm-hmm. Broccoli, frozen vegetables, like a mix. I'll try to have that available, and I'll try to switch through those during the week, and hopefully he doesn't get too bored. Sometimes he'll just skip the vegetables altogether and just eat the fruit and the chicken. But
I think it's just a case of me needing to switch up the dinner and the lunch. I need to kind of give her, like you were saying, give her some pasta for a lunch, and then just some snacky little bits for a dinner time.
If ever you have a teething child that doesn't want to eat, try frozen peas, just like one or two or three at a time, straight out of the freezer. When my kids were teething, they would take those little frozen peas and put one in their mouth and, you know, gnaw on it. Yeah. And that seemed to be one of the best things that we could do for when they were teething. And my daughter still sometimes asks if she can have frozen peas. And I say, sure, you mean you want me to put them in the microwave? And no, I just want frozen peas. I'm like, okay.
Straight out of the freezer.
Yeah. Okay.
I've heard people do things like that with carrots, similar, you know, a little stick, a little carrot stick or something to kind of nibble on.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, speaking on that sort of subject, then the five a day, it's a massive thing over in the UK to tackle the obesity crisis in kids. It just seems to keep getting worse and worse. It's something I try to adhere to. She has a lot of fruit and she always has a vegetable component to her dinner. She'll have like some fries, some oven cooked fries, a piece of meat and some vegetables and then eating fruit throughout the day. But is five a day something that you try and strive for? Is it something that just happens naturally, or do you ever really think about it? Nick, let's go to you first with that.
I really think as far as what I'm giving my son, if I get him some fruit, some vegetables and whatever, you know, meat or say a pasta or something like that, that's kind of where I look at. And then he has milk throughout the day every once in a while.
Yeah.
So as long as I think my main concern is trying to get the vegetables in there, because he'll eat fruit all day and chicken or something like that. It's just the vegetables I have a hard time with sometimes. Just,
I think that the five a day is important, but I think it's less important than making sure you don't give them too much salt in their food or too much sugar in their food. That's, I think, more important.
Yeah, I agree.
Matty, five a day, is that a thing for you?
Not really. When we were doing our like prenatal stuff and then classes through the medical provider and everything, we did a class on kids and eating. And, you know, my 14-year-old, we make him eat his broccoli, we make him eat, you know, green beans, asparagus, whatever it is that we're making, we'll definitely make him. He has to make that choice. But we let the little ones have a little more free rein. You know, the idea is that we offer them a bunch of healthy things and they eat what they need. And my son, my 3-year-old, will eat broccoli all the time. Like if you steam broccoli and put it out there, he's going to eat it. Nice. Yeah, he loves it. He has been known to order broccoli on the side of his hamburger at, you know, at the Chili's or Applebee's or Fridays or whatever, you know, whatever family dining type place. Instead of fries, he'll want broccoli. So
that's good. That's good.
Yeah. You know, so it's not something that we go, okay, how many fruits have they had today? How many? Because they love fruit and they love fruit juice and applesauce. And I mean, there's so many different ways. Plus we get, you know, you get vegetable pasta or, you know, vegetarian based pastas or, you know, vegetable soup or, I mean, any of the things, there's so many ways to put vegetables in their diet.
Yeah. That, a lot of time without them even knowing as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I've got actually seven nieces. Our family is all girls basically. The three that came along first, they will eat carrot sticks, cucumber sticks, little cherry tomatoes. They'll eat those over sweets and chocolate any day, all day long. If you put a platter of those out at a party or a family gathering, they're gone in an instant. Whereas the cake and all the sweet treats are just left to the side. I don't remember ever remember it being a massive thing when I was a child, though. Like, I don't remember my mum kind of forcing fruit on me to hit five a day, but it just kind of, it was something that happened. You just have an orange or a banana or things like that.
Yeah, that's how I remember too. I remember being told at dinner that they're, you know, we're having Brussels sprouts. I'm putting three on your plate. You're not getting up from the table. No, you eat them.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, there were those kinds of things, but it was just kind of expected. We often had a green salad with dinner when I was a kid. That was just something my mom always had, was, you know, torn up lettuce and carrots and
a
little dressing. That too. So, you know, that was just, it's weird sometimes to have a meal without a salad sometimes, because I'm just, when I grew up, I was so used to that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember many Sunday dinners sat around the table, just me sat there on my own because everyone else has left and I've refused to eat my peas or my carrots.
Yep.
Now I'll have ladles full of peas and carrots and sweet corn and everything on my dinner because I'm not being forced to eat them. I want to eat them and I know they're nice and tasty. But
yeah, that leads into another question that I would ask. Your wives. So yes. Do they influence some of those things? For example, my wife is anti-salad. She says it all, no matter how clean it is, it tastes like dirt. I like salad. So, you know, and certain vegetables she doesn't eat. She doesn't like a lot of different fruits. There's certain ones she will eat. So I pretty much take the reins and give everything that I can to let my son try because she won't even touch bananas. She doesn't even want to look at them or smell them. So
my wife's the same. She hates them. She's happy for my daughter to eat them, just away from her.
So that can be a struggle too, just making sure that you're getting that out there, even though the other, you know, wife or other, you know, other person that's influencing what they're eating, you know, you have to get through that too.
It can be tricky. I mean, sometimes she'll come home from work and I've given my daughter three meals a day and she kind of asks what she had throughout the day. And if I've not given her enough of something, it can become an issue. But it's very rarely an issue. I think she trusts me to just, I'm doing the right thing kind of by our child, I suppose.
Yeah.
We don't really have, there's a couple of things that my wife just, she doesn't eat. Like she won't eat anything pickled. She doesn't like olives. She doesn't like mushrooms, but she's actually gone out of her way to make sure that the kids always try everything, even if it's stuff that she doesn't like.
Yes. Right.
And both of my kids love olives and my son loves pickles and everybody eats mushrooms. So, I mean, she's been really conscientious about trying not to pass on those things. And it's funny because we always tell them, you know, well, maybe try it again because maybe you like it now. So every time we go to my mom and dad's house or something and there's black olives out, my daughter will grab one and take it to my wife and go, try it, mommy. Maybe you'll like it now. And she's like, I'm not going to like it now. I'm just not.
That's fun.
So that's kind of funny. It backfires a little bit. But but yeah. And I don't like cooked salmon, but everybody else does. Mm-hmm. So I try not to foist those things.
Fish can be an odd one though, can't it? Because fish can be tasty, but it can also be kind of the texture can be what puts people off, I think.
Yeah.
I just don't
like touch fish. Yeah.
My wife won't eat chicken, any white meat, or any meat off the bone, which makes dinners kind of tricky sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. What about boneless?
If I make lamb shanks, I have to take them off the bone.
Oh, okay.
Cut it all up, all that sort of thing. I have to just get rid of the bones before she sees them, which is unfortunate because KFC is a kind of...
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, that animal doesn't have bones.
They do the boneless buckets now, but even that's not... It's not the same.
Yeah.
It's just not the same. So on the KFC tip there, eating out, it can be a wonderful experience with kids, and it can also be the worst thing ever. If they do not want to be where you take them, they can make the whole experience just an absolute misery.
Oh yeah.
Either of you have any kind of absolute horror stories from eating out anywhere? Martin, let's see if you've got any first. Your kids are a bit older, so you've had more time for this to develop than us.
I don't really have any horror stories. The worst thing with my little 3-year-old boy is that he will not sit still.
Right.
He has to be climbing or getting out from the table and running around or trying to climb into the family at the next booth or, you know, whatever it is. And he's the same way at home. He'll take 3 bites of his meal and then he'll get up and run around the family room and then come back and sit down and take, I mean, it. He has no problem eating. He just has a problem staying still. so that can be tricky. We don't go to really fancy restaurants with kids. My wife and I love
not tried that yet.
Fancy dinner, but not with the kids. You know, you try to stick to the family, casual, you know.
Yeah. So they can't be too angry at you.
Right.
Yeah, what do you expect? You're a family restaurant. Kids
are right. Coming. Yeah.
Deal with it.
We were actually at... So in Monterey, California, they have a big aquarium and it's fairly famous, I think. And we were there and decided, we were with my parents, and we decided we were going to eat in the sort of nicer restaurant. They have like a cafeteria setting, and then they have like a sit-down restaurant setting. Yeah. And so my kids were both high chair age at the time. Mm-hmm. And my son just was at his stage where he liked to babble. And he wasn't speaking yet, but he liked to babble. And he wasn't always cognizant of his volume. but you can hardly expect from an 18-month-old that they're going to be really concerned about the decorum of their voice volume. But there was a lady at the table behind us. And at one point, she started talking very loudly to her table mates about how rude the children were. And she couldn't believe that they were paying this much for dinner. And they, you know, it was so loud. And I just turned around and I looked at her and I was like, really?
Yeah. Those sort of situations, I'm more than willing to get up and say, excuse me, do you have a problem? My wife will be cowering in like shame of me doing that. But
it's just the opposite. My wife will tell anybody off anywhere, anytime, for any reason. Yeah. And I'm like, honey, it's just, you got mustard on your sandwich. It's really okay. But you know, she's just that way. She's very sure of what she wants and how she expects things to be. And she will tell you. I tend to default to a slightly more diplomatic tack sometimes, but sometimes I can't do it. Sometimes I just have to say, really, you're saying this right now? Really?
Yeah. Can you see what I'm trying to deal with? I don't need you doing this.
Exactly. It's not like the food flew across the room and landed in your lap. You know, it's just a 18-month-old boy trying out his voice. Really?
Yeah. You had to learn to speak once as well. So get over yourself.
Exactly.
And Nick, you're almost pretty much exactly the same age child as me. My daughter's just turned two, so a couple of months.
Okay, yeah, very close. Yes.
So we're living the nightmare together at the minute. What? Yeah. How is it for you taking the young ones out?
My son decided he didn't like the high chairs at an early, early on. Yeah. He would just go crazy in there, trying to pull the strap off and shaking it around. So we put him in the booster chair, and he's a little bit better there, but he likes to stand up, and we try to get him to sit down. Then he'll stand up and move around, and sometimes he'll try to go under the table. Occasionally, he just won't sit still. We'll keep, we'll talk to him. He'll scream and try to get out of the chair. Sometimes he'll throw crayons because you give him the crayons to try to occupy him with that. But he'll get tired of those real quick and just start throwing them at you. A couple times, our food would just come and he's flipping out. So my wife took him out to the parking lot. He ran around in the parking lot. She just watched to make sure no cars were going to come around.
Yeah.
I ate my dinner as quick as I could. It's hard to enjoy it when you're trying to scarf it down. Then I'd walk out there. She'd come back, eat. And then I'd come back and pay it. And then we'd just leave because it's just... He just wouldn't sit still. Sometimes if there's rice is a savior almost because he just loves to dig into the rice and eat it, miss his face, mouth, whatever. It doesn't matter because we'll just leave a bigger tip. Just it's a mess. It's all right. I feel better. But it can be crazy. It can definitely be crazy. It's hard to really just go out and sit down and eat.
Yeah, my daughter's pretty much the same. We always have the intention of going out and having a nice family dinner and it being a nice evening. And then we get there and I think, why have I done this to myself again? I know exactly what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Where do you guys stand on the
ticking time bomb?
Exactly, yeah. Where do you guys stand on the kind of the mobile phone, the iPad, YouTube, Peppa Pig distraction tactics?
I try not to use the phone. Unless it's absolute emergency, nothing's working. We need to stay there or something along those lines.
Yeah.
We'll show him, some Sesame Street type music video or something like that. We don't really give it to him to hold. I mean, you see some of those kids that have a phone and they're just in the phone for the whole time that they're in their stroller or something like that. And I don't believe in that.
No, my daughter will often ask, "Daddy's iPad, Daddy's iPad," and it's like, "Well, you can have it for 5 minutes, and then you're interacting with the world around you. You're not just being sat in a screen. You're 2 years old. You shouldn't be doing this."
Right.
I mean, it's our fault in the first place. We've given it to her in the first place, but it's if we can write that wrong now, then it's going to lead to a better development, I think. Mm-hmm. Matt, yours are a bit older, probably a bit easier to control, I suppose is the right word, when you're out eating.
We're a fairly techy geeky family.
Yeah.
Both of my kids own Amazon Kindle tablets. Mm-hmm. And neither one of them has used theirs in about 3 weeks because we were getting to the point where if there was any like time between we're doing one thing and we're doing the next thing, it was, "Daddy, can I have my tablet? Daddy, can I have my tablet? Daddy, can I have my tablet?" And so we've sort of cut them off on that. They have little games like Angry Birds and stuff that they like to play on our phones. Yeah. And so we have a very strict rule. If we're out to dinner after we've ordered, before the food comes, that's, you know, phone or whatever time, but we have to figure out what we're having and order first. And once the food comes, it all gets put away. And we try to enjoy, you know, our meal together. So, and honestly, my wife and I are as addicted to checking Facebook and checking emails and all that stuff anyway, that it's just, it's kind of fun because one of them will get my phone and one of them will get my wife's phone. And then the two of us are sitting there with nothing to do. So we actually talk to each other and, you know, gaze lovingly across the table at each other.
All the time wondering what's happening on Twitter. Why am I missing?
Exactly. What's going on Facebook? Or it'll beep. And my daughter reads, my 5-year-old reads like nothing. So anytime a notification or something comes up on the screen, she'd be like, "Mommy, you just got a Facebook message from whoever the person is. Daddy, you just got a text message from, you know, whoever." Not that she's handing the phone over. She just wants to let you know.
Yeah, you know now. We can't read it. Yeah,
right. Yeah. You can look at it later. I just wanted you to know it was there.
One time I was at a restaurant, and I thought it was crazy. I saw two people. I'm sure it was a date or something like that. But they must have ordered, and they were just reading books. They were sitting across from each other, just reading books, sitting like with their face in a book. And I was like, "Wow, that's an interesting date." Just be around each other, I guess.
Yeah. We're in the same space. That's good enough. Yeah. Well, I think, gents, I think that kind of brings us to the end, unless either of you two have got any more kind of questions you want to throw out there.
Oh, there was one thing about, you know, how do you try to control those things as far as keeping them settled at the restaurants. I forgot. Sometimes I'll bring something that my son has never played with or had before.
Right.
There you go. Like a tiny plastic car or something like that. And just being something different will calm him down a lot of times, not always, but I've tried things like that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've been, as I said, with our kitchen nightmare, we've been eating out a lot more. And in our general, you know, two towns right here together where we live, you know, there's a limited number of restaurants, and you'd be surprised how infrequently they change the coloring kids menu thing that they hand out. I never realized, because it would be a month or two between going to a restaurant twice, and everything would be different. And so you figure, you know, it must change all the time. And, you know, my kids have memorized the Denny's, you know, quiz questions on them. So, I mean, it's just, sometimes those things that the restaurants provide are good distractions, and sometimes they're just not at all. And of course the new thing, Ross, I don't know if this is where you are, but the new thing now is to have little like tablets at each table where you can order and call the server and pay the bill. And oh, by the way, for 99 cents, you can play all these games. And
our local McDonald's, they've just started to do that. They just had revamp, and they've got them all like built into the tables and stuff. Yeah.
And I've only seen it at sit down places. I don't know about you, Nick, but like I've seen them at like Chili's and Olive Garden, places like
sit
that.
Sit down. Yeah, that's all I've seen. I haven't seen it in any fast food restaurants, but I don't really frequent.
We don't either. Really gone to any,
so I don't know.
I think that's probably, if there's one thing that's like, it's not even a treat for the kids that mom wouldn't approve of, it's for me. It's like when I'm, if I get to be out of the house by myself,
yeah,
I might hit that McDonald's drive-thru and get a McChicken, yeah, or I might hit that Taco Bell drive-thru because my wife can't stand any of it. She's just not a fast food person and she doesn't want the kids to be. So the only time I ever get fast food is if like they're out of town and I'm home, or she's watching the kids and I've got, you know, 30 minutes to myself or whatever. So,
Yeah, I have to do that as well. I had to pop into town to get a new phone the other day and I had an extra half an hour. I thought, oh, I'll just nip into McDonald's and get a breakfast quickly before I have to go back to the reality, I think. Right.
Then you sat down, played some games on the iPad. Yeah.
Paid 99 cents.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's worth it. Sometimes
it is. A little bit of time is always worth it. So, gents, that pretty much brings us to an end. You can follow us on Twitter at SADPod. That's SAHDPod. You can like our Facebook page, where there's quite a lot of stuff happening. You can subscribe to us via iTunes. And don't forget to give us a 5-star rate and review. Every 5-star rate and review we get pushes us up the charts and puts us onto the new and noteworthy and the what's hot kind of pages. And that opens us up to a whole new audience. I want to thank Matty for joining me. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And I want to thank Nick for joining me. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And I want to give a special thanks to Micah and me for the use of their excellent Super Daddy Fun Day. So, gents, I wish you both a very happy Super Daddy Fun Day. It's just another ordinary, typical day. Me and my daddy gonna go out and play. I hope my baby sister doesn't get in the way. I'm ready for